Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Jeffrey Mark is a performer, a musician, an actor based in Hollywood and in California in general. And I want to talk to you about a lot of things. You've authored many books, one on Ella Fitzgerald, one on Ethel Merman, one on Lucy and all the Lucy various programs. But you also happen to be, Jeffrey, a friend of Rob Reiner's.
Well, gee, I sound fascinating. Good morning.
You are. And you know, I know you, but I didn't know that you knew Rob Reiner, and I saw you on CNN, and the interview was so eloquent because I don't know that you can do. I mean, you will be me. I'm not so sure about. But tell me about, first of all, how you knew Rob Reiner and what he was like.
Well, I was a friend of his father's, Carl Reiner. I know the whole family, so I'm a friend of the Reiner family. And you know, Hollywood is a very small place. And if you spend enough time in it, you get to know these folks. Whether you're a member of a Friars Club like I was, or just a show business event, and you get to know people, and then some of them stand out. Some of them fascinate, and Rob fascinated me.
Why?
That's how that began.
Why?
Well, you just played the theme song. And by the way, kudos to whoever chose it, because that's the theme song from the pilot, not the actual All in the Family show.
I noticed that was my producer, Jeff, by the way. He's very, very good.
Well, he's very good, and kudos to him for doing that. So I was a fan of Rob's. I had known Rob as an actor before All in the Family, just as a kid growing up. Rob's, you know, about 10 years older than I, and watching him grow into becoming a regular on a sitcom like that, I thought Rob brought so much humanity to the show. And as it turns out, the reason he did that, apart and aside from excellent writing and direction, is that Rob had this humanity about him. And that not just fascinated me, it drew me towards him. I mean, I liked his father, Carl. Carl was a genius. Carl, between us, no one's listening, was not warm and fuzzy. Carl was not somebody I would have told intimate stories to or asked personal questions. There was a barrier up. And I knew Carl really well. I visited him in the mansion. I sat in his bedroom talking to him. Rob, on the other hand, was very approachable. Very warm, very down to earth, and one could say to Rob, hey, what do you think of thus and such? And you'd have a real conversation with him, and often not about show business. So they were very, very different people, very talented each. I also admired that Rob, being the son of a famous person, was his own man. Rob would have made it in show business no matter what his last name was. So I just admired the man so much. And sometimes you admire people and you're disappointed or they're aloof. And sometimes you're lucky, you admire people and they're warm and they bring you into their lives. And that's what it was like with Rob.
I want to ask you more about Rob, but you mentioned Carl Reiner several times. And for those who don't know, oh my gosh, I mean, the Dick Van Dyke Show, but the list of programs that Carl Reiner, in one way or another, was involved in, goes on forever. And he worked also, among other things, at the movies he made or was involved in, but also the 2,000-year-old man that he did with Mel Brooks. And their relationship, their friendship, lasted until Carl Reiner died. Was it last year or the year before? And tell me about their friendship.
They met doing the Sid Caesar show. Sid Caesar, for those of you who don't know who he was, in the 1950s, he was one of the top television stars. And he was on this program called Your Show of Shows.
Tell us who was in that writer's room, because that in of itself is amazing.
Well, you have Mel Brooks and you have Carl. So Carl was also a writer on the show. At various times, it changed. These people weren't all necessarily always in the same room. But you had, you know, Woody Allen, and you had, Neil Simon, and his brother Danny Simon.
And Larry Gelbart from...
And Larry Gelbart, who was a wonderful guy, Larry. I loved Larry as a person. Hmm. See, you had all of these very young, brilliant writers writing this 90... See, it's a funny thing. Your Show of Shows really is Saturday Night Live. It's on NBC Saturday nights for 90 minutes live. There are these three or four or five people who are regulars on it doing sketches. And then they had a guest host. And they had musical performers. And it is Saturday Night Live, just with a different name.
Okay. So I want to get back. I'm sorry to interrupt, but we have to go to weather and traffic. But I want to talk more about Rob Reiner. I want to talk about his son. And I want to talk about their relationship. And what happened with you 1 year in Central Park in New York City and John Lennon? I mean, that story in itself is incredible. Your life, Jeffrey Mark, I'll tell you, there ought to be a book. You write about other lives. Your life is worthy of a book. First, we were talking about Rob Reiner's and, you know, his tragic ending. He and his wife, Michelle, and it's important, I think, to mention his wife as well. Were you expecting anything like this, Jeffrey Mark, who is an actor, a musician, who was a friend of Rob Reiner's? Jeffrey?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
How can you expect something that's inhuman? I mean, no one expects that kind of behavior.
And did you talk with Rob at all in your many conversations with him about the problems this one particular son, Nick, was having? I mean, there's even a movie about it.
Yes. It is no secret that I'm 36 years clean and sober. So when I became aware that Nick had the problems, we talked. Rob didn't go into deep detail. He kept it private to protect Nick. But the bigger picture stuff we discussed, how to help, what kind of help is good, what kind of help to avoid, how a parent can and cannot influence an adult child who have these problems. And it all boils down to the person has to want to get better. And I guess that just never happened for Nick. He would shrug it off at the end of a conversation, go have children, meaning I love my kids, but wow, this is a big problem. No parent can solve that problem for a child who has addiction. The child, as a kid or as an adult, has to want the help. If that isn't in place, there's nothing a parent can do, which is a huge heartbreak.
Hmm. Do you think that there's... I mean, how does this happen in the first place? I mean, he was even homeless for a while with all of the dollars and resources that family had, and attempted, by all accounts, to give him all the right help.
Because dollars don't work. It's a disease. Alcoholism, drug addiction, it's an actual disease. It's in the DNA. And if the person has that disease and then decides to drink or use drugs, they're going to be in big trouble. Money doesn't solve it. I keep saying the same thing because it's so important. The person who has the disease has to have a moment of clarity and say, oh, good gracious, if I don't do something, something awful is going to happen in my life. And unless they have that moment, that understanding, that realization, nothing's going to happen. You can throw millions of dollars at that, and dollars will just bounce off and go down the drain.
All right, making
it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is. And I wish well to their kids and the family, you know, of course, and friends like you of the Reiner family.
There are many, many of them.
Yeah, he was beloved. And his wife, Michelle. Yes. I mean, the both of them. So we just slid by not all that long ago, December 8th of 1980. Do you know why I'm bringing up that date?
Yes, I do, sir. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Tell me what happened.
I had a date with a girl, believe it or not, and we were going to a late, late dinner in New York City. And it was cold, and I lived near her, but I took the subway because it was cold out. And the subway let me off at Central Park West and 72nd Street. At that corner is the Dakota Apartment Building. And the Dakota Apartment Building, probably the most famous in New York, and unusual because there's no front door on the street. There's just, in those days, a driveway with an archway, a little reception area outdoor, like park area, little benches and little tea lights at night. And then you turned left, and then there was a front door and a doorman. And I am walking up the street. She lived across the street and two houses down. And as I get my feet into the archway, bang, bang, bang. And I look, and there's someone lying on the floor, just shot. I didn't know who it was in the moment. I did not see the woman who was all the way in the back, hiding and shivering. But under the light, I saw the killer, who then saw me and turned towards me with the gun, and I ran like a bat out of hell.
Wow.
And I went up to Phyllis's apartment, shaking. I turned on the TV, Channel 9 in New York. That's how I found out that what I had just seen was the murder of John Lennon.
And you testified in court as it happened?
I did not, because I was terrified.
Hmm.
And I spent years feeling guilty. What if I had called the police? What if I had stayed there? What if I had tried to help? And bless his heart, Sean Lennon reached out to me and said, my father was dead immediately. The guy who shot him wanted to be caught. He didn't run away. The guy waited for the police. The doorman called the police. So I didn't have to call the police. He admitted to what he did. He didn't need witnesses. But Sean said to me, because he turned to you with the gun, if you hadn't run, he might have shot you next. He said, all you did was save your life, but you didn't harm my father. He was already gone, and everything was already in place. He said, please, he said, stop feeling guilty. But to just be walking down the street, minding your own business, and turn your head, and there it is.
Wow, that is, Jeffrey, that's an incredible story. Before we run, tell us where people can hear your podcast.
Multiple podcasts. There's Still Talking With, which is an interview show, live Wednesdays, 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Chicago time. I also do Two Music podcast, Jeffrey Mark Plays Ella, which is, you can find on YouTube and Facebook, and there's 37 platforms worldwide. And in the new year, we're starting a new one, Jeffrey Mark on Broadway. And again, that's released on the weekend, and you can find it on YouTube and Facebook and 37 platforms around the world.
Jeffrey, thank you very much. Happy New Year. That's Jeffrey with a G, by the way.